Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Jealous friends' opinions last. So many kids, young or old. Try no matter what your tone holds.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Foisey, and I'm your host. The original Lyric Stream radio show. Everybody, our world is going through something we've never seen before. And, you know, I want to say this to everyone on the entire planet. Please, everybody, be safe. Wash your hands. If you cough, make sure you cover. If you sneeze, make sure you cover. And just be safe, safe, safe. That's all I want to say to everybody. And, you know, we're going to be talking music and getting into that for the next 45 minutes or so. And I want to welcome first-time listeners to our show. We're very blessed, the people that have listened to the show to date. To listen live, please log on to blogtalkradio.com/originallyricstreamradio. Thank you to my friend, Bill Miller, who's on the dashboard this evening. He uploads the photos and the music from our guests. We are an iHeartRadio podcast, and you can listen to our radio show replay on the iHeartRadio app on your Android, Apple iOS device, and on iHeartRadio.com. We're also on Stitcher, Google Play Music, and Spotify for podcasters. And we have some new outlets, Breakers, Pocket Podcasters, and Radio Public. So welcome to those three as well. Our radio show name concept is based on my first recording in studio CD titled Original Lyrics Dream. And this was my dream come true with my own lyrics and recorded songs. My website is RussellFoiseyMusic.com. That's F as in Frank, O-I-S-Y. And I am a singer, songwriter, producer, and I've recorded two albums. My social media is on Spotify, iTunes, Reverb Nation, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. The chorus you just heard to start the show is my own song titled Stomp the Ants, which stands for Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. And as the lyric says in the chorus, so many can'ts, young or old, try no matter what you're told. And on this show, can't is a word we do not recognize. My hope tonight, we can pay it forward to the individual listening with a desire to begin as a singer, songwriter, composer, musician, or engineer in our creative arts. And I'll be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead that will tell their own story and inspiration behind the lyrics and the music. And my own writing inspiration has come from my life, current events, and family. I wrote my very first song lyrics in 2012. Now, that's only 8 years ago. So everyone out there, if I can do it, you can as well. So please try. All right, time for the introduction to our interview. And you're viewing a slideshow of an artist from the land down under in Australia, J. Cole. Let's play a great track from J. Cole. And this is titled A Better Life.
And it's shaking me. think about the troubles of today. Forever wipe those tears away. Cause I know that nothing's ever gonna change. Big money's here to stay. It seems that everybody's hypnotized. It's no surprise, so close your eyes. It seems that everybody's hypnotized. It's no surprise, so close your eyes. Better check the beer is nice and cold. The smoke and mirrors will unfold. The truth it is, so will be so. Lock your ears so you don't know. Push your head into the ground. Just don't wanna hear no sound. These broken promises surround. Now everybody wears a crown. I wanna make this life a better.
Songwriter, musician from Australia, Jay Cool, welcome and thank you so much for joining me on Original Lyric Stream Radio.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. Great to be on here.
Well, thank you for joining me, and we're going to ask you a series of questions so our listeners can get to know you better. And I know we jump ahead in Australia time. What day and time is it there?
Yeah, Friday morning here. It's just after 11 o'clock Friday morning, so I'm in the future.
About,
so I can tell you what's happening tomorrow for you if you like. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, 14 and a half, I think I am from you guys. Yeah. So if you want to know what happens on Friday, I can let you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first, tell our listeners about the great upbeat track we just heard. I hear a lot of genres in A Better Life. Well done. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, look, it's a song. One, actually, I targeted what I wanted to write for the first time ever, because generally I just write randomly whatever comes out. But that was, I really sort of targeted the feel I wanted for the song. But it's really a song about really optimism. I try and treat people properly. So it's really what I want for the world, and hope other people, for one, hear the music and think the same. But it's also mentions on how people are blind to what goes on around them. So it's sort of hoping that people will wake up to a better way of living, being nice to people in general and being just state of mind or good frame of mind, and try and, you know, treat people with respect. And that's generally what the song's about, you know. Yeah, but it does have a few mixed genres in there, for sure. Well, I think all my stuff does. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great great message, and particularly what we're going through right now and what I mentioned in the beginning of the show. And, you know, we want to send our condolences from the United States to your country with all the lives lost and the widespread fires. And, boy, that's incredible what happened there. And, you know, animals and people, losing their lives.
Oh, it seriously felt like the whole country was on fire, which half the country pretty well was, it didn't seem like it was ever going to end, you know. It was very sad. But, you know, sort of got through, everyone's got through, and, you know, they're just picking up the pieces, I guess, now. And but people came together and helped. It was really quite an amazing effort by the country, really, to, you know, to band together through these times. And everyone's moving forward. So, it's it was a disaster. Yeah.
No, exactly. We had an artist on our show previously, Lisa Michael Aston, and she's a very talented singer-songwriter. Tell everyone, J. Cool, about your country and, you know, what you really love about it.
All right. Yeah, well, look, we're a very laid-back country. Lot of really cool sort of people. It's, you know, a lot of space. There's a really great sporting culture here. And it's just an easy, really easy way of life. I live in probably the third biggest city in Australia, and it's a great city, really. Easy to get around. It's about 1.5 million people. It's just a really relaxed culture, you know. It has changed a little bit over the last 10 years or so, but, yeah, it's just a great place to live, really. It's really hard to compare. You know, I haven't really been to many other countries. So it's hard to compare, but it's a great place, yeah.
I hear wonderful things, and I know I've bought many soundtracks or CDs from the, I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think it's your amphitheater or opera amphitheater. It's like right in the middle of a body of water.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay.
That one.
I'm trying to think of the name of it.
Was it Midnight Oil? Live on Goat Island?
It might be in Sydney, I think.
Yeah,
but,
Sydney. I'm thinking it was Midnight Oil live on Goat Island. There was a band there. They played on the island in the middle of the harbour. It's a brilliant concert.
Yeah.
One of my favourites of all time, actually. Yeah, from the 80s.
What a great band. Midnight Oil.
Yeah, they were one of my biggest influences, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
You have a few genres that are pop, hip-hop, rock and soul. Do you have a favorite genre, or do you treat them all the same?
You know, I don't really. I was brought up. I'm originally a drummer, so I was a fanatical drummer, and so my biggest influence in music was Rush and Neil Peart, who's recently just passed away.
Yeah.
Which is
rest in peace.
Yeah, I was heartbroken. So that's probably my favorite band of all. But I'm influenced by guys like Frank Zappa. But even as far as Cypress Hill, I love older rap. I don't really like the new rap that's come out over the last couple of years, but I like older rap, and I like just good music, you know, any genre, as long as it's good, strong melodies and rhythms. You know, I'm not really fussed. So
yeah,
I try and incorporate
that
into...
That was my next question. I was going to ask you about artists that have... motivated you, and with all the genres that you have in your music. So you mentioned Neil Peart, probably the best percussionist. Yeah, probably the best percussionist of all time.
I believe so. And his lyrics are incredible. And for me, it's about, my songs are about the lyrics. They come first. And I was really motivated by what he writes, and after he's died I've realized what a genius he was lyrically. I'd always knew he was good, but I never realized he was as good as he actually was lyrically. But it's more, I've heard a lot more of his lyric now than before he died, actually.
You make a very good point, and I don't, probably our audience is not aware, but in Rush, Neil Peart, who played drums, was the lyricist of that group, rather than Geddy Lee or Alex, and I can't remember his last, Leifson? I believe it's Leifson, but...
Alex Leifson, yeah.
But Neil Peart, Leifson, yeah. So Neil was the lyricist for Rush, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was, I'll just really quickly, I'll tell you, he was a bloody bookworm. So they go on tour, so So their first tour, he was reading books, and they said to him, well, you must be able to write lyrics, so you can write the lyrics. That's how it came about.
And, that's incredible.
And he writes excellent. Yeah, he writes excellent lyrics. So I'm really inspired by, you know, lyricists, people who really write. And another big influence is Sting and the Police.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. Yep. Big. Yeah, I think Sting is a great storyteller, especially his solo stuff. You know,
he is a great artist from start to finish. Yeah. When you hear his song, he tells a complete story. Oh, any song that he writes.
Yeah, he does.
You began as a drummer, and reading your bio, you were performing in 20 different bands. Tell me about the days,
yes.
You know, learning to play the drums, and you've played over 500 live shows.
Yeah, I'd say probably even closer to 600 or 700. I started at 9 playing drums. Don't know why I wanted to. I just wanted to. My parents bought me a kit, and I was playing professionally when I was about 14, and I earned a lot of money through music through the 80s. When money was, there's a lot of money in music through the live scene. And I just played through just so many bands, just drummed for. Sometimes I'd be drumming for two bands at once. I just played and slowly started writing in amongst that. But I did probably 300-400 of the gigs just drumming. And the latter part of my music life, I've turned into the vocalist drummer. So I used to rap and drum as well. And now I've just, for my solo stuff, I'm not performing live at the moment. So, yeah, so I've played all over South Australia and other parts of Australia, over 25, 30 year span, actually.
That's incredible. That's incredible. But let's talk about the crafting of song. And, I think my thoughts, and, you know, myself being a singer, songwriter, I always look at the title, the melody, then the lyrics, and then I start looking at a beat, a bridge, chords. As you write lyrics, do you start and stop to write a track? Does it take a while, or could that be very quick?
Yeah, well, it can be quick, but generally, I write, I think, in a different way than a lot of people. I don't write at the instrument, so I'll come up with a riff. This is how I write most of my songs. I'll come up with a little riff, whether it be a bass line in a drum track, and then I'll just write one line, and generally I walk away, and for the next 3 or 4 days, once I'm working on it, I get consumed with it, and then I just slowly piece the lyrics together, because I've found when I wrote sitting down at a table or something, all the ideas wouldn't come. They'd sort of come while I was, say, working or driving my car or going for a walk or just doing daily things. I keep a notepad and pen and just scratch out a line here and a line there, and that's pretty well how I always write. And so I just need really an initial riff, and then I write the lyrics, and then I work the music around the lyrics after that. And that's how I've done
it. And I say this every week I usually say this, and it's a good thing we have the voice recorder, and you could be driving around, walking around, and here comes an idea. And if you don't, remember it, that could be lost in time. And, that would be a shame.
The amount of times I've actually had a tune and I've been singing it, thinking this is a hit, and I think I'll remember that when I get home, and I don't remember it. So I do on my phone now. I record certain things. You've got the sound recorder on the phone, so now I capture it as soon as I've got it. I'll sing it down, but yeah, I write on it all loose bits of paper and stuff, I essentially write lyrics and then work the music around it. So I love writing lyrics. It's my favorite part of music.
It's a lot of fun. So in 2009, your debut release was The Day of the Jekyll, and then in 2011, and in fact, I have your YouTube channel up on my laptop, looking at some of the cool animation that you've added to your music videos. Tell us about your first release and your thought process to add this really interesting animation to your music.
Okay, well, my first release was, I'd just sort of broken out of a band. Well, I didn't break out. We had a breakup. There was a tragic circumstance to the breakup. So I'd stepped out of that band and I was still working on my own sort of thing, doing a lot of writing. So that's where the first EP came from. It was just really what I was writing, and I'd made a decision to actually not look for another. We lost our guitarist, not look for another guitarist, just work on my solo project. I thought this was the right opportunity to do it. So that first EP was the first stuff I'd written for the solo project. And then that was going okay. It was going fine. And I just kind of wanted to think of what I could do to actually, it's sort of a point of difference with my music so people could actually pay attention to it. So I kind of took 6 months off and taught myself how to, well, start at 3D animation. I started very tacky. My first couple of animations are really, really tacky, but it's become part of what I do. It's a part of, you know, I release certain songs with animations, and that's where I am moving forward. Just going to keep animating, and it's made a massive change for my music popularity, and people quite often know me for animation as much as they do for music nowadays. Pretty well how it's all come about.
Yeah, it's almost like you're branding the animation to your sound. I think it's genius. You know, I have videos myself, and I like to use imagery rather than you know, have me run down a beach or, you know, I'd rather tell the story with imagery, right?
Well, I think it's really good, and I've noticed the change, and people quite often will. I've got a lot of fans through Twitter and stuff like that, and a lot of people say to me, "Oh, I kind of forget you're a songwriter. I watch your animations and forget you're actually." And to me, that's fine because it brings attention to it, and it's made a massive change for my as an independent artist. You know how hard it is to get your music out. It's made a massive change. It's opened up so many opportunities for me. It's been It's almost a master stroke of, you know, it's, I've sort of got onto a good idea there, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm currently started a new animation sort of as we speak.
If I remember back in the day, and I'm sure you're aware of this, Genesis did that quite a bit, didn't they? In their video, Phil Collins, I think they did. A lot of animation in their videos.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first real one that came out, Money for Nothing, though, for Dire Straits, and everyone was talking about this, wow, this animation was, but it was, when you watch it now, it's quite tacky. But yeah, I just think it's a good point of difference, you know, with your music. It makes it, helps it stand out. You know, it's.
I agree. Like, I'm looking at it right now. It's well done.
Yeah, so my later ones are better. I've got better at it. I think. I mean, even my first one though, it's very tacky, but I think it still works. You know, it's the first one was Run, and it was one of those ones I thought was going to go viral because I had like about 50,000 views over the space of a week. And I thought this one's gone. I'm there, and then it just sort of stopped. I get a lot more views because of the, and I think people go to my Spotify through the animations. Because my monthly listeners always go up.
That's very true.
So I get because I don't really push my Spotify, but I get Sorry.
No. I think that's brilliant to incorporate your animation also and link that into the Spotify. In fact, you can actually place some images within your Spotify homepage.
I didn't realize that.
You can. Yes, you can. Within your bio, you can add imagery. You sure can.
Yeah, I'll be looking into that today. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Let's talk about the music industry, which is now, as you know, marketing and advertising on all the social media platforms. And we just mentioned Spotify streaming in the digital landscape. And upon a time, a long time ago, when dinosaurs were around, you had albums and CDs, and you know, you'd go on tour to support your album, and I say this every week, As you mix and master your sound and place it in all your feeds, you are available to the entire planet. So as I place my sound in, let's say, Facebook, somebody in Australia can hear me in a matter of minutes.
Well, I tell you, I actually love the way the modern platforms now. We used to bust our guts just to be heard around Adelaide, you know, my home city. We used to bust our guts, but now more people listen to me overseas than they do in Australia, especially through Northern Europe. I've got most of my fan base is through Northern Europe and stuff like that, and that's through things like Twitter, Facebook, and all that. So my music gets heard and overseas, which is it's fantastic to me. Like even the fact that I'm on this radio show today wasn't really a possibility, you know, even 15 years ago.
Right.
I think it's a great. It's just still learning how to market the stuff. It's always hard, but you know, I'm pretty happy with where things are. Slowly, I realise that with the independent work, it's a slow grow. You know, it's not something that you know you can't expect a hit single overnight. You know, I'm in for the hard slog, and I feel successful anyway. I feel people watch and listen to my stuff and enjoy it, and that to me is enough. You know, it's enough. So I feel like my art is for a reason. You know, it's not for myself. I'm sharing it, which is great.
No, that's well said. And, you know, in fact, this is a good segue into we're going to play another track, everybody, from J. Cole. And I'm looking at the video to this next track and 35,000 views on this video. And Bill, let's go ahead and play this great track from J. Cole, and this is titled Ghost Town.
Running around, hiding behind the crown, and that's allowed. You're so proud with all your beat downs and no back downs, all in gowns. You're so loud.
But these ghost towns wear frowns, and everybody's down, and everybody here has been beaten to the ground. Waiting for the swings to come around, waiting for the turnaround. It seems a revolution ain't going down.
Long live the revolution. There must be some solution for people's disillusion and confusion.
But you, with the pen in your hand, you keep on letting us down, letting us run around. You're running us down.
Like everybody wears a frown.
that's a tremendous track. That is well done, everybody. Let's welcome back our guest tonight, live from Australia, Jakeel. Well done. I can see the hip hop infusion. I listened to many of your tracks, and this one is my favorite.
I love that track. I loved. When I wrote it, I was really really happy with the way that one came out. It just had the sound I was sort of looking for at the time, and I'm really really proud of that one. That's why I sent you that song. It was one that I've, it's been very popular for me, that one. I had a number two on iTunes on that song a couple of years ago when I first bought it out. So I was pretty happy with that one. That was, I like it.
Well, you can tell, as I'm listening to that, my shoulders are moving back and forth, and I'm sure the entire planet that listens to that track is moving. So well done.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's talk about the love of music. And, I know you probably feel the same way. I make music because I just love it. Whatever comes after the fact, you go into the studio and you make the music because you love it. And, it's an honor for me that one individual would buy a song or a stream or an album or what have you. What is your advice to the new artist today, the singer, songwriter, musician, is going to maybe think about tomorrow, doing their thing in music?
Well, really, my thing is what I've learned from experience is, don't be in a hurry to get a hit single. It's the process of actually making the music. I've told the guy who produces a lot of my songs, so I get a guy who engineers it all for me. I've told him, time and time again, it's this whole process that I love. It's the creation. It's a lifestyle. It's when I'm doing it, I actually feel, when I'm writing songs, I feel really emotionally strong and really powerful in life. And I feel really gratified. So just to sell one copy is great, but just people enjoying my music is enough. And that should be, I think, the biggest motivation. If you're into music for that number one hit straight away, I think you're in the wrong business, really. I think it's got to be about, spiritual and emotional gratification that helps you get through. That's what gets me through my day, is thinking about music and what I'm going to work on next. It's exciting, always. It's like the novelty never wanes. It's always there, and I'm excited now for my next projects.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like the studio, and you're giving birth to a creation. Yeah. It all starts in the beginning, the title and a melody, and then you're building the track. It's an incredible feeling.
I love it. Yeah, that's what I explain this to people. It is like building, like writing a song. I love layering a vocal on it. Like when you record the vocal, I absolutely love that moment. When you do a good vocal that you're happy with, and the way it sits on the music, it's just such a great feeling. It's my favorite time is in the studio for sure. I love it.
There's no doubt about it.
I'll do it to the day.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's. I recommend, I say to people, being a musician is just good for your soul, full stop. I think it makes you a better person. You need to do it. It's therapy.
I agree. So, my friend, what do you have coming up next in projects? And tell everybody where they can find you in social media.
Well, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube essentially is what I do most of my promoting on, which is just under the name Jakeel. I've got a few other places, Reverb Nation, etc. But the next project I've only this morning got a recording, a mix back from a new single which I'm doing, which incorporates someone from Wyala on guitar, someone from Munich on vocal, on part of the vocal, and of course myself and my bass player who live here. And I'm just starting an animation, I've started over the last couple of days. So that's going to be my next project. That's been couple of months away. I'll probably release a couple of little demos along the way just through my YouTube, just to keep, something in for my subscribers. I've got what I think is a big song out probably in the next couple of months called Is That You? And that's about it. So I'm just going to keep keep working, keep writing, and keep releasing.
You know, I was going to say the connection that we have on this interview is incredible. We're about 18 hours away, right, from one another?
Yeah. It is, actually.
It is incredible. I love your sound. I mean, I hear a lot going on.
Thank you.
And, it's absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on tonight.
You're welcome. And thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, it's been a great conversation. We're going to have you back on. I'm very intrigued with you as an artist, and I have great respect in what I've seen and what I've listened to, and we're definitely going to have you back on the show for sure, and we're going to post the replay of the
thank
show
you.
In Facebook, Twitter,
I'd love
Instagram,
to post that on,
and LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'd love to post that on my pages as well, so that'd be great, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. We'll put
great.
That in there, and we'll tag you, all your fans, and wish you all the best, my friend. And we're going to ask our audience to Google you and support your music.
Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Well, Jake, thank you again, and all the best moving forward, and keep up this great work with the animation as well.
Oh, thank you. So, thanks for having me on.
Well, great. Have a good evening. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, take care. Everybody, we thank again Jekyll. Please Google and support this great artist and buy Jekyll music in all the social media feeds. Please visit my website, everybody, russellpoiseymusic.com, to check out my sound, all my news, and there's some great merch there to include music and t-shirts from my songs. My name is Russell Poisey, your host of the original Lyric Stream radio show, and just got a note from Bill. I think we're having some technical issues, but thank you again, Bill, and remember, everybody, try no matter what you're told. Good night.